Some fake images are intricate masterpieces of deception, but lousy ones can be pretty effective too. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jed Kim, in for Molly Wood. Fake news and doctored or made-up images make navigating our social media feeds ever trickier. But the potential fakes posed to trick and sway opinion are more than just a hassle. They can actually threaten our national security. Christy Sisson is a professor at Rochester Institute of Technology, and she's working with the Department of Defense to build a sophisticated tool that can identify fake images. She and her students act like bad guys. They're doing painstaking work to develop the most convincing fake images they can. They've learned a lot about what it takes to fool people, including that maybe they don't need to work so hard.
That was a sort of a revelation, at least for me, as a photographer in the photo sciences. You know, I sort of had that starting point of that this image has to be, or this video has to be visually convincing in order for it to even begin to be shared, begin to sort of have the viewer believe what it is I was trying to get them to believe. But I don't know. The evidence is sort of pointing to something different. And certainly the venues are different. You know, this is not law enforcement context. This is not, you know, national security type context. This is primarily social media and the sharing of stories over social media that the images have clearly been tampered with and manipulated, but they're shared millions of times.
And that's got to be kind of, I don't know, heartbreaking. You spend so much time and energy making really high quality fakes, and then you see something that's just really cruddy and people believe it. Are you just like, oh, come on?
Well, part of it is that, for sure. And there was definitely a lot of that kind of sentiment. But I think it opened my eyes to this idea that this goes far beyond a technical issue, that this is not something that can be solved with a technical tool, that this is a broader question, particularly as it relates to why people share information and what sort of prompts people to disseminate a piece of information or an image that's sensational. And in my very brief and anecdotal research, it's the things that validate people's beliefs and sort of resonate with them emotionally.
Well, maybe this is something that we shouldn't be too surprised about. I mean, I'm thinking of the blurry images of Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster that some people are just like, yep, there it is, proof.
I think the thing that has shifted, certainly and maybe in the last 15, 20 years, is the sheer volume of imagery that we're digesting. Yeah, it's one thing to see, you know, an image of Loch Ness or, you know, or Bigfoot, you know, question that. But it's another thing to be able to turn around and disseminate that as a potential source of information or to disseminate as if it were truthful. So I think that changes the dynamic, certainly. And I asked my son about this, who's a teenager, and I said, you know, what would prompt you to share information? Do you look into what the sources are? You know, how do you determine if something is real on the internet or in social media? He says, very matter of factly, that nothing is real on the internet. And that was a huge shift for me in mindset, because that was never my mindset. You know, images are truth, or, you know, at least our best resemblance of truth, certainly in photography, as I learned photography and what the image represents. And so that sort of, that actually did give me hope, as discouraging as it was for people to see people sharing really poorly done images. The idea that maybe, just maybe, with this constant diet of imagery, that maybe future generations will not necessarily put their faith in images, and they'll view everything sort of with a skeptical eye.
Christy Sisson directs the Photographic Sciences Department at Rochester Institute of Technology. I asked her if any of the fakes she and her team have made have gone viral. Her answer was a definite no. They keep things locked down tight. And now for some related links. Christy Sisson wrote an article for Nieman Lab about her work and the implications for life today. She includes an example of the kind of work her department is taking on. A video of a person speaking when suddenly the voice swaps out for someone else. And if you've never met this person, you'd never know it's not her voice. It's messed up. Handy tip, she includes a link to a how-to guide for reverse image searching. Says it's good practice to incorporate until the day tech saves us from, you know, other tech. Want to see a disturbing deepfake in action? Like action movie action? YouTuber Aldo Jones has made one of those videos where you take one famous person's face and overlay it on footage of another person. He's put the face of the most recent Spider-Man actor, Tom Holland, onto the body of Tobey Maguire in scenes from Spider-Man 3. The result is scary close to believable. I have to say, it's kind of hard to watch, though. I mean, not because of uncanny valley issues or glitchiness. I mean, there is a little of that. No, it's tough to see the video through to the end because it is, after all, Spider-Man 3. Heyo. I'm Jed Kim, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.